Okay, so not only am I 3 of 3 and your heads are spinning with all the information and the questions, but I'm also the only thing standing between you and lunch. So I'm going to be really fast. But if you have any questions, my contact information is in here as well. So my name's Lynette Cook. I'm from the great state of Ohio. Just a little bit of information about Ohio. There are about 11.5 million of us. We're pretty average. The most unfortunate and notable thing about us is that all of the fast food chains like to use us for test markets. So if there's anything new at McDonald's, it comes to Columbus first. Yeah. Oh, well, what can I say? We are a home rule state. There are actually, that number's wrong. It's now 125, depending on who you ask, 125, 128. We have 88 counties and 125 local health departments, so you can imagine there's some overlap between county and city. And, well, it's always an adventure learning how to collaborate well with our partners. And we are also big fans of football. If you see an Ohioan wandering around and the person is muttering OH, the correct response is, thank you very much. Makes us feel better when we know we can spell. I think it's comforting. Not that I had any bias there. Okay, so in October of 2010, we created a statewide planning council, and we wanted the planning council to be functional, but we also wanted a lot of perspective, which meant we needed a lot of people. But you might know, anytime you get a lot of people in a room, you don't necessarily get anything done. So we decided to create a smaller steering committee that would be doing the heavy lifting. But then to get that perspective in, we created an advisory committee that would meet less frequently and be more likely to add perspective. Our original timeline, we were going to have our state health assessment done in May because we were dreamers. And by now, we'd be almost done with our SHIP. Well, that didn't so much pan out. We actually had the raw data ready in the state health assessment in May, and we contracted with an editor. We had a few challenges. We had a little budget crisis. We had some stuff going on. So as it was, I have in my folder the final draft of the state health assessment to read to proof before we send it to Creative Services, and we began the state health improvement plan in August. August 31st actually was our first meeting that I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. So we're a few months behind schedule, but we're still chugging along. This is a map of the great state of Ohio with all of the counties, the 88 counties. You see the stars because that's meant to represent where our partners are coming from, because if I fill that in, it makes it a little harder to read. The blue stars, whether light blue or dark blue, represent our county and city local health department partners, and the pretty red-orangey color stars represent actually just a smattering of the statewide associations and other state agencies and that sort of thing, because I wanted you to just sort of get that visual of it's everybody. We called everybody. Interestingly enough, when the governor changed and then our administration changed, we got even more people on board. You know, the idea of a new administration, maybe we can build some new relationships. So this has actually been, people call me all the time to want to join. When does that ever happen? People call you and say, hey, can I join your committee? But they do. So we've had pretty good, we have about 110 regular members, like people who are actually on the roster of their a member. In any given meeting, depending on whether or not the governor's likely to show up, we have between 50 and 80 people show up, which I think is pretty good for a statewide association or a statewide collaborative. And then we have another about anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen people who join us on the telephone for each meeting, so which has, I've learned some new skills about facilitating a conversation with people on the phone. So when this group started in October 2010, they wanted to be very clear. Back to Jack's point about how many of us have done assessments or strategic plans or any kind of formal document, and it's done, and we go, yep, it's done, there it is. Now can we get back to our regular jobs? So we wanted to be clear that we were doing this state health assessment for the purpose of creating a health improvement plan and a strategic plan for the Ohio Department of Health. We also wanted to take an opportunity, because of our relationship with our local health departments, and you might have seen on that first slide, it's about a 60-40 split rural versus urban, and some of the rural areas don't have the resources to create a community health assessment all on their own. So the goal was to create a template document we are reporting in the state health assessment, we're reporting the data at a state level, but all of the data where available is available to the counties at a local level, so they have an easy way to put together at least the rough outline of a community health assessment, and then they can add local data that they have available. So we wanted to do something that would benefit not just the state, but the counties. And then we also had a lot of conversations about the data that we don't have that we think we should have. Okay. Lots of stuff that we agreed that we were going to do, all the typical, we're going to play nice and, you know, compromise and all that stuff. But where the arrow is the one that's probably most pertinent to today's conversation. We wanted to make sure that the data was about planning and making decisions, but we also see that number two. We also wanted to know how we were doing compared to the rest of you. Because, you know, I mean, if you're interested in applying for accreditation, don't lie. Don't you want to know how everybody else is doing? Ohio was actually one of the beta sites, state beta sites for accreditation for the beta test. And when we got our score, the first question was, what did everybody else get? And they wouldn't tell us. So, you know, but it's like that. I mean, it's just like, I actually also teach psychology at Ohio State, and my students, when they get their exam, the first thing they want to know is what they got. The second thing they want to know is the average. I think it's basic human nature. So we wanted to do this process not only for decision making, but we wanted to know what other states were doing and how they were doing that. So we started with the data that we had, and we're very fortunate. I didn't show you all the formal stuff about our organization and how ODH is set up. We have about 1,200 employees. I have the Office of Performance Improvement, which includes our data center, which actually has a much more formal name, but it's easier to call it the data center. We have the state EPI office and the state health equities office within the center for, or the Office of Performance Improvement. So we had a lot of data, and that's where we started. I naively thought that, because, you know, back in the day when everything was hard copy and you could make reports that were so long that nobody would read them, I thought, we'll prioritize and we'll pick five. And my committee of 120 people pushed back and said, no, we're going to use it all. Why would you, you know, electronic age, why would you have data and not use it? But what we'll do is prioritize, we'll pick our top five that we're going to talk about, but everything will be included. So there'll be charts and graphs and everything, but we're only going to talk about the priority data sets. So that steering committee, that smaller group of folks, we literally talked. There for a while, they were meeting with me every other week for 3 hours. I mean, it was a great conversation, but it was pretty intense. So we talked about everything, and then they gave me the task of then talking to our subject matter experts internally, and there was a lot of back and forth, because, for example, suicide and homicide, the local health departments absolutely wanted that included. The subject matter experts said, if you're going to let the data drive your priorities, those are not high enough numbers anywhere, and so how do we negotiate that conversation, right? So there was a lot of back and forth. If you're not this far along yet, my number one thing to tell you is allow for conversation. Let people say that they have issues with how you're doing it. It made the world, because they found their own peace, but they just had to be able to talk about it for a while. So that was a good thing. So you may be saying, how does any of this relate to technical assistance? Well, we got through mostly through the state health assessment, but all along the way we were saying, well, okay, but when we use this to develop priorities, we need to be aware of the resources that we can bring to bear to the issue. So we need to do some sort of asset mapping. But we weren't really sure how to do that other than, you know, you could maybe go around and count the number of local health departments that had clinics, and you could count the number of FQHCs, and you could count stuff. But not really sure that that's the best way to do asset mapping. And if we're going to determine priorities, we need to make sure that our asset map is appropriate. So that's where ASTO comes in. A big thank you to Jim Pearsall, who does happen to sort of come from Ohio, which helps. And Denise Pavlicek, who's also in the back of the room. Wave. She is fabulous, as well as Lindsay. So really highly recommend asking them questions. Turns out they're brilliant. Scary how smart they are. We also got some technical assistance from Monica Valdez-Lupe from the Massachusetts Department of Health, specifically, and I'll show you in a minute, she changed the way that we thought about asset mapping. We really were thinking about asset mapping as a count of all the, you know, you have this quantitative data about problems or health outcomes or health status, so have some quantitative data about the resources that you have to bear, and I'll show you here in a minute. So from ASTO and from Monica, they came to our first official SHIP meeting, which was August 31st. And you'll see this is really recent stuff. I mean, we're still in the process of doing this, so take everything I say with a big grain of salt. So they came to our meeting on the 31st. Jim shared a lot of information about what all of you, what all the other states are doing, which was helpful to make us feel like we weren't completely clueless. And then Monica shared a wonderful presentation, and I have it, or you can email her and ask her for it. It's just brilliant. It'll change your thinking totally. So what we got from ASTO, and Denise, help me here if I get this wrong, what I need to share with you is that these data were collected between August and December of 2010. ASTO worked with Purdue University, and so those of you who have the ASTO profile survey, these data may look slightly different because Purdue collected and analyzed these data, and their definition of a SHIP was slightly different. Did I do good? Okay, good. They're smiling in the back now, so I'm happy about that. So Jim shared with us these data around what other states were doing and then focused in specifically on those 15 that already have a SHIP and their responses. And I actually, the line down the middle, so this is a whole listing, and you can get the PowerPoint, but this is a listing of the types of organizations that are involved in doing a state health improvement plan. And the line, the brown line down the middle, is anything that was over 50% of the organization said they had those types of groups involved. So local health departments, other state agencies, nonprofit organizations, hospitals, environmental groups, employers, elected officials, physicians, community health clinics, and academia were the ones that are all over 50%. And the good news is we had all of those. The employers is the hardest group for us to stay involved, to keep them involved, but we do have representatives from all of those, so we felt a little bit better about that. It's really about making sure that they see how it's relevant to them, and all the stuff that's going on with patient-centered medical care for us has been the way to engage employers on a regular basis. Other information that Jim shared, 73% of those state plans identified priority health issues, but 86% of them identified priority infrastructure issues, so that your state health improvement plan doesn't just have to be about health status or health outcome. So that was good. A few other things that we found notable, for me, it's that last column. Over 80% are identifying what organizations are responsible for implementing the strategies you decide in your SHIP. And wow, is that important, because it's not just lip service when I say the Ohio Department of Health cannot do all of this by ourselves. I mean, I don't think any of us can. And so getting partners to say, yes, I will own that one, and at our regular meetings, I'll talk about progress and ask for help when I need it, so it's not just ODH, is important. Over 60% of them identified guidelines for monitoring progress and making revisions. Again, it's that third column. I mean, all of this stuff is important, but those were the ones that were really standing out for me. And Denise and Jim, somebody else, I can't remember the third person, but sent me an email saying, really, you need to get people to say not only who will be responsible for what, but how are we all going to hold ourselves accountable over the long haul, getting to Jack's point around not leaving this sit on the shelf. You got to say up front, here's the date at which you're going to have to stand in front of a room full of people and say, this is what you did, and how are you doing, and what are you going to do next. That's been pretty powerful stuff. When Jim first put up this 11-point, here's what you got to do to develop a SHIP, I about fell over. But then when you read it, it's like, okay, we can do this. So establishing a planning process and or selecting a model and then identifying and engaging stakeholders, really that's ongoing work, right? But fortunately, that's ongoing work. So you have those relationships with people all the time. Number 3 through 7, so what are your themes, your forces of change, systems thinking process, look at the data and establish priorities. That's kind of what we're doing right now. And then, by, get this, December 14th, we think we're going to have our priorities, that first list of what our priorities are going to be, and then we're going to spend the next few months going out into the community and talking with those folks about what they think. We've struggled a lot with community engagement. We have a number of statewide community engagement organizations who are quite rightly saying, you don't have Joe Blow at the table saying what is life like for him and his family. And that's really true, but Joe and Jane don't really want to come to our boring meetings. So, and we can't, I mean, no matter, and we don't have the money to, like, pay them and pay for childcare and transportation and that sort of thing. So our compromise, not perfect, but our compromise is to take it to them out into the community after the fact and say, what do you think and what would you change and that sort of thing. It's not perfect, but it's our best option. And then that 11th one is that ongoing piece of making sure you keep looking at this and don't let it sit on somebody's shelf and get dusty. So what we learned from Massachusetts is asset mapping doesn't have to be a count of what are your assets. Assets can be how can you be an asset to the public health issues that are going on in your community. And in Ohio, I'm sure like many other states, healthcare reform, we're not supposed to call it healthcare reform, we're supposed to call it healthcare transformation, because we currently have a Republican governor who thinks that healthcare reform is the last guy who was a Democrat. So it's not public health, it's not healthcare reform, it's healthcare transformation. So to be a part of healthcare transformation, what is the role that public health has in that transformation? And instead of getting all uppity about, you know, public health has been talking about prevention for, what, 100 years or more? And why is suddenly everybody else coming to the table like they know prevention like we do? Instead of having that attitude, have the attitude of, wow, public health can really contribute, because here's what we know about prevention. So she just totally changed for a lot of folks in the room the way they were thinking about it. And so this is just one example. She had the BRFS data for Massachusetts. We switched it to the Ohio data. And talking about specifically how can public health play a role in healthcare transformation. So I saw New York had an HIT group. We have an HIT group, making sure that there are public health folks at the table as those HIT systems are being created. How can we use the BRFS data now, and how can we transition it when we get to the point where HIT and those kind of electronic health records provide some of that data? What about the folks who aren't getting into that system? So how can we transition the use of the BRFSS and that sort of thing? Okay. All right, so back to where we were on the 31st, participants looked, they provided, that was our last chance to look at the edits and the state health assessment before we got simply to proofreading. They looked at other sources of data. They started to develop a potential list of priorities, like just what was their gut level reaction, what they thought our priorities should be. On October 26th, we were a beta site for the next version of the National Public Health Performance Standards Program. If you guys have done the old one but haven't done, because I've heard we're only the second state to test the new, it's way better. It's so much better. You're going to love it. I'm just saying. And actually, I have to go back to Ohio tonight because tomorrow we're doing that priority ranking thing that they have. So on our November 9th, which is next Wednesday, we're going to have the initial conversation about priorities. And like I say, the group, they pushed me and said, we want to have this done by December 14th. So keep your fingers crossed for me. Because this is what we have yet to do. We're trying to decide our priorities decide what our criteria are for deciding our priorities. So Denise gave me a list that ASCO developed of, if you're going to develop priorities, what criteria are you going to use? She sent me a list. I put it into a SurveyMonkey and sent it out to the group. They're voting now. I haven't checked SurveyMonkey today, but last time, like, 50 people had already voted. We've got to do our implementation plan, and we've got to create our monitoring plan, and they are committed to doing all of those things. So I'll sleep sometime in January. All right. See, I told you I'd go really fast. If you have any questions, you know where to find me.